You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, we'll talk to Shaq Barrett, the Buccaneers linebacker, and Sean Payton, the New Orleans Saints head coach. I got to ask Shaq Barrett, is he a linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? Do they have an official designation as edge rusher, McLovin? Is that a position?
I believe when you look at franchise tags, it is not.
Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, he's been listed as a linebacker, but he plays like a defensive end. But if you look at both ESPN and Mike Florio's show, they refer to people as he's an edge, not even edge rusher. They just stop with the word edge, all caps.
But do you make more money as an edge rusher than a linebacker?
Would it be easier to get to the Hall of Fame as a linebacker with 100 sacks?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Defensive end with 100 sacks?
I would think a linebacker. But I don't know if, like, they're hybrids. You sort of line up wherever they have you line up. It's not the way it used to be. You know, when Shaq joins us, I'll say, are you an edge rusher, a linebacker? What are you? Yes, McLovin.
I think ESPN on their draft has officially gone edge. Like, you know, they list only edge. They never go for those pass rushers, anything else.
Who was the first edge in the NFL?
LT jumps to mind.
Yeah, but he was not listed as an edge. I'm talking about who's the first player listed as an edge rusher. Was that Jadeveon Clowney?
Connor Barwin? I'm just throwing
out. Connor Barwin.
Yeah, was Clowney, he was listed as linebacker, wasn't he? Which is crazy because there's nothing linebacker about him.
No.
He feels like what would have been a defensive end.
Well, there's a lot of guys that you know would have been labeled an edge rusher, but back then you were just a defensive end. But now there's a designation. Is there a Pro Bowl designation for edge rusher? I'm curious about that. So Shaq will join us coming up. Patriots spending in day one, spending in day two. They signed Hunter Henry, former Chargers tight end. The Bucs keep Gronk, 1-year deal. Saints keep Jameis Winston. Fitzpatrick goes to the Washington football team. Signing a 1-year deal, Ryan Fitzpatrick there. Six NCAA reps sent home. They were waiting for their rooms. They were checking in Indianapolis. They decided to go get lunch. And then all of a sudden somebody tested positive. Those referees will not work March Madness. They have been sent home. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. I watched a lot of the Knicks and the Nets last night. Julius Randle has been great. Not good, but great. And you start to think about it, you know, when he was with the Lakers. And I thought if Zion put up Julius Randle numbers his first year, what, you know, Julius Randle, was putting up in his whatever second or third year. I thought if you can get 20, 21, and 10 out of Zion, that would be great. Now, Zion has proven to be better than that and putting up bigger numbers there. But Julius Randle, you forget, I don't know if he does anything well, like one thing really well, but he's averaging 23, 11, and 6. And I was watching last night, and they held their own. They were getting blown out by the Nets. Harden had a triple-double. Kyrie had a great game. They're still waiting for Durant there. But the Knicks are at least interesting. Now, there's a pulse there. I don't know. You know, the Knicks screw up everything. But it does feel like there is something there to build on with the Knicks. Yes, McLovin.
I like the Nets' versatility. Now they have two ways to get points. There's James Harden throwing up his arms in the air to the officials. And then there's Kyrie falling and turning and looking at the officials.
There we go. You done?
How many fouls can you call on the Nets? Come on, guys.
Well, those are guys who, there's an ability. There is a, you know, I don't want to say a science, but it feels like that. There is an ability for drawing fouls. And Harden initiates contact.
And Kyrie's handle is a problem.
Yes.
You foul, but you're trying to get to the ball and you can't.
Yes. Like, I have to give them some credit here that they do bring this on, that they're inviting, you know, contact. And they have the ball so much. Yeah, Paul.
There was a play where Harden dribbled right and was trying to get fouled. And he took 2.5 steps and then he didn't get fouled. Like, the guy backed off enough, and Harden just stopped.
Yeah.
And then looked to pass. The whole building went, that's a travel. But they've decided to never call travel on James Harden. He cannot travel. Like, I would like to see him try to get called for a travel in a game on a dare. They won't call it.
I saw where Shaq Barrett, Shaq had his all-time basketball team at each position. Steve Nash, Allen Iverson, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, the Joker, and his sixth man, Jamal Crawford. Shaq Barrett joins us now. I think I could come up with a better team than that, Shaq. If that's your starting five, I think I could do some damage against you.
That's my my favorite at each position, minus the center. Jokic is just real good, and he's been balling a lot lately. But I probably could come up with a better five overall, starting five for sure.
Okay, all right. Well, congratulations. Last time we had you on after the Super Bowl, you said you were going to try to make it work in Tampa. If there was another team involved in this, like how close was it that you were going to go to another team, and what team was that? Did it come down to?
Pretty much was Tampa. We was giving Tampa every opportunity to keep me here and to make it work, and it worked out perfectly. So I really didn't want to have to leave and go anywhere else, to be honest. That's why I said it from the jump that Tampa was my plan A, and I'm happy that I had to get to plan B.
But did you get another offer that was better than Tampa's offer?
I did not get another offer that was better than Tampa's offer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So that's easy. Did you hear from Tom Brady yet?
Well, I checked my Instagram last night, but he had sent me a message earlier yesterday morning, and just saying that he hoped we could work something out and get back together. I'm like, yeah, me too. I want to be back here. We got something special going, and I am back here now, and I'm happy to keep building on what we got going right now.
Isn't it nice you don't have to move? Like, you don't, like, your wife's probably saying, oh, we got to pack up, or we're going to pack up, or where are we going to move to? You don't have to move. Maybe a bigger house.
Yeah, we most definitely have to move, because we was renting the one we in now. Since we're going to be here for a few years, we're going to buy. We actually was looking. We got a couple houses that we're looking at today that we're going to choose from.
Good for you. Is that your big purchase? Are you going to buy anything special?
So I have my home in Colorado already, but I do have to buy a home down here. And I have my car that I want already. I'm going to just get me probably another Tesla, a Tesla Roadster eventually. And then I'm going to get my wife a nice little car as a gift as well.
Nice. What was the car you wanted? What was the car you wanted growing up?
I wanted the H2 Hummer, and I wanted the Range Rover.
You don't want those now?
No, I got over the Hummer pretty quick, even though I never got one. But yeah, they ain't come out with no new ones to make me want to get one. I wasn't an H3 Hummer type guy. And then the Range Rover, I don't know, I just skip that all together. Now that I have Tesla is, I love the Tesla.
Take us back to the Super Bowl and the game plan that you guys had to put pressure on Mahomes.
So we knew just coming into the game that it could be up to the guys up front. We knew that we could apply a lot of pressure. We could affect the game a lot. And Coach Bowles just was letting us rush. He wasn't having us do anything else but rush. You know, not typically, but sometimes we drop back in coverage. Sometimes we just have a different assignment. But that game, he was just letting us pin our ears back and go.
Yeah, because I look back on that, and the offensive line was not healthy with Kansas City, and they had replaced some guys there. And it just felt like, hey, if they want to beat us running the football or little short passes, go ahead. We're just going. We're going after Mahomes. But when did you know we're winning this game?
I believed it the whole entire week coming leading up until it. I just knew that we wanted it. We wasn't going to let this opportunity slip by, that if we was going to lose, we was going to play our best game possible. And if they was going to beat our best game, then, like, they deserve to win. So I really didn't have no doubt leading up to it at all.
You weren't in bad shape like Brady was at the celebration, the boat celebration, were you, Shaq?
No. I had a couple of drinks, but I wasn't sipping no avocado tequila. That's probably what it was.
But you're not used to seeing Brady like that.
No, I'm not used to him, but I'm going to get used to seeing him like that, because we got a lot more to accomplish here.
Help me here. Are you a defensive end, a linebacker, or edge?
I think edge. I just say edge. It's the best way to describe my position. Pass rush, drop back in coverage occasionally. edge of the defense. So, yeah, I think edge would be appropriate.
We're going to test your basketball knowledge. You're in the Celebrity Bracket Challenge with us. Do you know anything? Is your bracket done, by the way? Do you know anything about college basketball?
My bracket will be done in a few minutes, but I haven't kept up with it as much since my Mavericks not going to have like a real good pick in a draft. That's when I keep up with it the most, is when my Mavericks not doing good. We might be a lottery team.
And you're from Maryland, but then you moved to Nebraska?
Yep. I finished 2 years of high school and 1 year of college in Nebraska, then transferred to Colorado State.
Who was your team in Baltimore growing up?
My basketball team?
Yeah.
The Mavericks. I was a Maverick fan. Well, I used to like AI, so I used to like the Sixers. But then a little later, I gravitated towards Dallas.
Wait, just because of Nash and Dirk?
Yeah.
Really?
Just because of Nash and Dirk.
Have you met those guys?
I met Dirk before. I haven't met Nash yet.
He's a big dude.
Dirk, he cool. So he was real cool when I met him, man. I actually got down to go down to the Maverick facility, shoot around there a couple times with one of my homeboys. So it was cool. It was a good people. They got good people in that organization for sure.
Did you get to shoot with Dirk?
Nah, I met him at the Nuggets game when I was in Colorado. That's when I met Dirk at the Nuggets game.
Yeah. What do you got off-season plans here?
We do. We having a baby coming up next month, so we can't do too much, but we've been taking advantage of Florida. We went down to a little resort down in Orlando or Kissimmee, and now we're going down to Legoland this weekend. But I think that's going to be the last thing we could do since the baby going to be on the way.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
You got a name?
Yeah, we have a name. Araya Sue.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about middle name Edge?
Middle name Edge?
Or Brady. How about Brady?
It could work if I had a boy, but a girl, I don't think my wife's going for that.
If you had a boy, could you say to your wife, how about Brady Barrett?
Not realistically, I can't say that. I could joke around saying it, but realistically, no, she wouldn't be going for that. I wouldn't even be going for it.
You like Brady. You don't like him that much.
Yeah. Brady, he the GOAT for sure. He the GOAT. He the man.
I wonder, do you friends and family ask if you can get an autograph of Brady for them, or, you know, can you get something signed? You know, because a lot of people always do that. They'll, like, use you to see if they could get to somebody. Do you have that with your family?
Not, like, my family, but, like, outside, like, friends, they be asking, like, oh, no, I got to take care of my signature from Brady first, and after that.
Wait, you don't have anything from Brady?
No, I have a jersey. I got the jersey from the Atlanta game when we came back and beat Atlanta the first time.
Oh, cool. But is that in your man cave there? That's your office, isn't it?
No, that's my son's game room. It used to be my game room, but I switched mine. So that's my son's game room now. Oh. But all my jerseys is being hung up in Colorado. I have a nice collection down there already. And I just got my Tom. I just mailed it to my guy, Brian, at Frame the Art in Colorado. He's framing them all up for me.
Nice. Give me the jersey I'd be surprised at seeing in your house in Denver.
Maybe a Luka jersey or a Dirk, not Dirk since he's my favorite player, a Luka jersey, maybe an Antoine Randall. Or
wait, you have a Luka jersey?
Yeah, I have a Luka jersey.
Nice.
I have a signed Luka jersey, signed Dirk jersey. Antoine Randall, he was a coach with us last year, so I got his jersey. And then I got a little bit of my homeboys from Colorado State and that I played in Denver with, but that wouldn't be surprising.
Well, congrats on the contract, and good luck with the baby there, and most importantly, good luck in the bracket challenge, because you don't want to get embarrassed, Jack. Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna put my best foot forward.
All right. Thank you, bud.
All right, y'all take it easy. You take it easy. Thank you.
That's Shaq Barrett. He's a edge rusher for the Buccaneers. Just signed a 4-year, $72 million contract. Got a baby on the way. Buying a house. Everything's good. Yeah, Paul.
That's got to be fun going to house shopping after you signed a $70 million contract. That's a good time.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a bad day.
You're like, you drive around and there's certain neighborhoods you might not have been able to go to last year to look, and now like, we're going down that street.
Yeah. Like, how far away are you from Brady's house?
His house, I think Tampa maxes out at about $10 million for houses, which is a lot of money, but it's not like New York City or Los Angeles.
Mm.
So you could do pretty well.
Yeah, but is Brady in Tampa or St. Petersburg? Because he was, wasn't he by Jeter's house?
Do you want to play net worth of Tom Brady's home game?
Sure.
The distant cousin of career salary.
Career salary? Yes, McLovin.
Do you want to live near Jeter and Brady? Do you want like a little athlete row? I think that'd be awesome.
But Jeter doesn't live there anymore.
Oh, he doesn't? Okay.
No, he's
did he move to Florida?
He's in Miami.
Miami?
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
Jeter's home that Tom Brady rented, the Zillow, is $29 million.
Yeah.
That's not the most expensive in town.
Yeah. But don't you want to be on the block with the most expensive house in town? I don't want the most expensive house in town.
You mean find a fixer-upper down the street from Jeter's?
Something, yes. Bring in main cabin masters to help me with my little fixer-upper. Yeah, Paul.
Well, Jeter's house, it does. He bought three lots and built a house. So the house next door to Jeter, they're nice houses, but they look like normal houses.
Mm.
Jeter took up three lots and built a compound.
Hence the name St. Jetersburg.
Yep.
Yeah. $29 million. I do go on Zillow sometimes, and I'll just look like in an area and just see what's available.
Have you ever looked at your childhood home on Zillow? It's fascinating. You could find out what it was bought for, what it sold for over the years, pictures.
Yeah. I went back to Ohio recently, and I did drive by my house, and I'm thinking, how did my parents raise six kids in that house? How did they do that? And it feels a lot bigger than what it really is, because when you're young, you know, we had one full bathroom, and there's six of us kids, mom and dad, two sisters, and I'm going, I don't know how we did it. Maybe we just didn't shower. I don't know. That could be a possibility, but you know, and then I, my brother, who is what, 6'5 or 6'6, we shared a bedroom together that was extremely small, but like everybody had to share a bedroom, two brothers and my brother and myself, and then my two sisters. And you just go, I don't know how they did that. But somehow there felt like there was but you were always outside back then. You were never inside. It's not like we were gamers or anything. There was no such thing. You got up early and you got out of the house, because if not, then you had to do work. Because my mom would say, if you're up and still in the house at 7:30, I'm going to put you to work. We'd be out the door. Be like, as soon as the sun's up, get out, let's go. And we'd come back at dinner time, 6 o'clock. Celebrity Bracket Challenge. If you sign up for the newsletter, you got a chance to be in the Bracket Challenge. We had 1,700 people sign up yesterday. We did hear from J.J. Watt. He's involved, and I think he submitted his bracket. We also have Clayton Kershaw, who just submitted his bracket as well. You can be involved in this, and it's a lot of fun. You're playing for pride. You know, we'll send you the link to this year's contest in today's newsletter, plus DP Show Store, a bunch of new shirts available as well. We'll take a break. The head coach of the Saints, Sean Payton, will join us. He's got two quarterbacks, but does he have one starting quarterback? We'll talk to him coming up. Phone calls as well. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. It's Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. Amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. We did a survey and found out that 99% of all the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So get used to hearing the word yes more often when it comes to your Discover credit card. Learn more at discover.com/yes, 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans build, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile by taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We're up to 2,200 listeners in our bracket challenge. The Mets' Noah Syndergaard also is watching. He said he'd be honored to join the group. So Thor is going to says he knows nothing about college basketball, which means he'll probably do well and you'll fit right in. Your phone call's coming up. He's Sean Payton, the New Orleans Saints head coach. Sean, we were just talking during the commercial break. You're Chicago, north side of Chicago, growing up in the 80s. So we were wondering your favorite band. And before you tell us, I'll give you a sample here. Fritzy, Sean Payton's favorite band growing up?
Was Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. McLovin?
Oh, definitely Van Halen.
Van Halen. Seton?
AC/DC.
All right. Paulie?
Going off the board, I'm going to go REO Speedwagon.
REO Speedwagon. I would hope that Coach would have better music taste than, say, the Stones or Zeppelin, somebody like that. But I'm going to go Coach's favorite band, Van Halen.
Man, I tell you what, you know, REO kind of came in as like a bronze, but Cheap Trick would have been.
Oh, Chicago. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been. We saw them live. I remember in Naperville, there's a college, North Central College. They performed at like a field house there. And that was probably just prior to them hitting it. So Cheap Trick and Rush would have been on. But, you know, the cassette tape you had that you pushed in. In fact, the guy that invented this just passed away this week, but you pushed your cassette tape in, you rewound it, you set it to the song you wanted to be hearing when you pulled up into your high school parking lot.
What were you driving?
I was driving a Chevy Cavalier, and the song was Tom Sawyer.
We had Geddy Lee on like 4 years ago talking baseball because he's such a huge baseball fan and he collects, he's got all kinds of memorabilia there. So a Chevy Cavalier, and then you got
Tom Sawyer going.
Did you have your Letterman jacket on being the quarterback in high school?
No, I didn't. Here's why, Dan. I didn't start my junior year, so I only started my senior year, and so it was a Letterman's coat that just had like one varsity letter in the upper left, and you know, aside from like the ribbon my mom gave me or something, it was kind of empty.
How many scholarship offers did you have?
Probably around five, all of them to the directional, you know, Eastern, Northern, Southern, South, you know, all of those schools. But, you know, look, more than I expected, having only started my senior year.
Who plays quarterback now the way you played in high school?
Gosh. A kid at Notre Dame is pretty scrappy. I was kind of – I mean, he's obviously a much better quarterback than I ever thought about being. But
Ian Book?
Yeah, he's pretty interesting to watch on tape. You know, he finds a way to win. So I think I was that, you know, kind of sprint out, move around a little bit. I had fun. I had a tremendous, and still is, he lives in the area, J.R. Bishop, a tremendous coach who was a huge impact on my life.
You threw for over 10,000 yards.
And that was in college then.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, so Al Moldy at college. I was a much better college player than high school player.
Oh, okay. 10,000 yards is a lot.
Yeah, we were starting to get into that one back offense that at the time in those early 80s, it was like foreign to teams. We'd look at some big sky film because they were doing it. And who knew, it ended up being, you know, I followed Mike Shanahan. He was there a few, you know, 4, 5, 6 years prior. I just saw him this summer. We were sharing some stories, and then later, you know, Romo came through there. And then after that, Garoppolo came through there, and it was a great place to go to school.
Who's the most impactful college coach as far as offense goes that you can remember? that he changed college football? Because I thought about Mouse Davis.
He was at Portland State, the run and shoot.
June Jones.
There were a bunch of June Jones. He was super. I would also, you could go to that Georgia Southern University of Hawaii Navy Air Force strain of like a version of the wishbone. You know, those guys, I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name.
Well, there was
the
head coach. Irk Russell was at Georgia Southern, I think.
It was that tribe. There was someone else. I would say this, though. I think I've got the winner.
Okay.
Lavelle Edwards.
At BYU.
Yeah. What he was doing in college, he was on, like, right at when Bill Walsh was doing some of the split back and advance. Lavelle Edwards, by far.
Yeah. Had a lot of quarterbacks go through there. We're talking to Sean Payton, the Saints head coach. When did you know that Breeze was going to retire?
I knew after the season. A season ago, he had thought about it. In fact, he and I had a good visit in our office and discussed it. And I would have bet, Dan, a year ago that was something. I know that was something he was strongly considering, and yet he had enough time to get away and think about, you know, playing another season. And ultimately that rest and time away and time with his family, I think helped him arrive at the decision of coming back. And so it was almost understood that, hey, he came back, at least from my perspective, I felt like this was going to be his last year. And yet, you know, you kind of go year to year, I think, with someone that's done it so long. And then we kind of got to a spot where we touched base, and I'm like, hey, have you thought about when you're going to announce it? And look, he was clever enough, and it dawned on me the other day. I turned to Doug Miller, our PR guy. I said, Doug, what date is Sunday? And he looked at me. He's like, it's the 15th. I said, or the 14th, whatever date.
Yeah.
I said, what date did we sign Drew? And it was exactly 15 years. And I'm like, I've been answering that question for the last 3-4 weeks because he wanted to time it up. And it's so like him.
He is the most competitive guy I've ever been around, Coach. And I've been around a lot of people down through the years. And I wondered if that competitor could surrender and just say, I'm not going to play football. You got a great team. You got a great relationship. It's hard for these guys to walk away now. Like, do you think they were second guessing that Drew actually gave it thought of maybe I try to do this one more time?
Yeah, I'm sure. But I would say this about him. He's exceptionally competitive. And I would agree with you, this environment that's so unique relative to every day coming to work. I think one of the bigger challenges for anybody when they finish is, you know, I watch you guys come to work in high tops and sweatpants and pullovers, and that we get to wear the same stuff and go to work every day. And it's not the normal world. It's not, you know, and so, but along the lines of that, I think he's so driven, not just athletically, but from a family standpoint, and his children are getting to those ages where, you know, you don't want to miss certain events. And there's so much more to him. And I'm not speaking for him, but I know he's extremely excited about the challenge at NBC, and he's got a lot of projects going on. But I think that back in, you know, that just the age of where his kids are at, you know, he's just, you know, he'll come back from the summer and the fall and talk about this game where his kids were playing a flag game against Philip Rivers' team, and Philip's kids were on the other. And he and Philip have a good relationship. But I mean, I've seen him coaching this flag football, and it's pretty impressive.
I still go back to, you nearly drafted Patrick Mahomes, that Andy Reid goes up and gets him, and how that could have changed the NFL, Sean.
Yeah, those decisions every year happen, and in so often you just never hear about them. You know, I've been in draft rooms in New York or in Dallas where, you know, you're able to get a player you want, or it's amazing how that can just change. You know, if you knew then, or if you knew then what you know now, then how you would have obviously done things. We were focused at 11. We were focused on 9, because if 9 was not Lattimore or Mahomes, we knew we had one of the two players that we had inside that cylinder.
And then you hear that, when you heard that, and the Chiefs have announced a trade.
Oh, right away.
You knew?
Right away, I knew it was Patrick. Yeah. No, that was a given. And
man.
And then look, we took Lattimore. And we just wanted to make sure we passed, you know, 9 was the team. Oh, and man. You looked, obviously, if you're two picks away, you want the team picking prior to the two picks to take someone other than the two you have left.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I don't think we've ever truly answered the question, though, boom. If the Chiefs took a different player, or Buffalo, whoever had that pick, stayed, we were debating. We didn't think Lattimore would get to 11. We thought Mahomes had a chance to, but we didn't think Lattimore would. And so, you know, some of the challenges are that immediate need for corner. We've got Breeze or the quarterback, you know, and but we never got to that position, but that would have been the discussion.
Yeah, that's when you start to look at when do you draft a quarterback successor? You know, like Green Bay when they took Jordan Love, and you know, who knows if here's Rodgers as the MVP. Like it's tricky, and like you're fortunate they have Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. You know, everybody knew who was the starting quarterback, but these other teams, it's when you draft that quarterback and then how that quarterback reacts to what you just did in the draft is pretty delicate.
Yeah, it's challenging. And here's why. When you have an elite quarterback, you're looking at, and I'm not going to use the example of toys, but I am a little bit, you know, immediately there's someone that can help him still in his quest versus, you know, the Christmas gift that's going to be corduroys that you're going to need to wear, but you're not going to need them right away.
All right.
So, does that make sense, though?
Is Jordan Love corduroys?
To be determined. I mean, I don't know. I'm saying that in a positive way.
Oh, okay.
It's like we got to the night before Christmas, open one gift, and you wanted to open something you could use or play or whatever. You didn't want to open and
socks.
And I think some of the challenges at that position, and here's the thing, and I think it happens every year, and I hear it and I cringe. Well, we'll get one of these three quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Well, who do you like?
Exactly.
And you know, yeah. And if you don't like the other, I probably don't like the other in the second or third round either.
I'm all in with you. I always say, don't take a quarterback. Take the quarterback you want.
Stop. Amen. Listen, find one you love, and if not, keep waiting and find one. But yeah, I mean, don't get me started on that position. I think it's a difficult position to evaluate, and I think a lot of teams – I mean, I think there are a lot of mistakes made in the process, and I think that this year's another interesting class with some exciting players. And, you know, the offenses at the college level are doing such a good job that these guys are getting at the line of scrimmage, you know, getting trained earlier than ever before.
Are you set at the quarterbacking position?
I think we are. And look, there'll be a few calls we make, but our goal coming into the offseason was to obviously re-sign Jameis. Taysom played for us in 4 games last year, and let those guys go to work and And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about those two. Now, there are a few things that may still be out there, but I see those two competing for this position.
Diana Russini, the ESPN reporter, said that you love Taysom Hill more than her husband loves her.
Yeah, listen, she's a little bit over the top with that statement, I think.
Just a little.
I like Taysom because he loves football. And I like Jameis because he loves football, and those guys are fun to be around.
If the season started today, Sean.
Yeah, here we go.
I know. Look, I buttered you up for the last 12 minutes. I mean, come on.
I'm choosing the corduroys, Dan.
Who's your starting quarterback? Give me your depth chart right now. Who is the who's
well,
number
one? Well, those two are going to be sitting there. I mean, I obviously, I've told both of them, hey, it's going to be, you know, the two of you are going to compete for this position, and they understand it, and they'll come in. We've already had a chance to see both of them to some degree. I think last year was important for us relative to Jameis. We had Taysom in the building, but it gave us a year to evaluate him, and it also gave him a year to evaluate us, and I think that was important.
Good to talk to you. And thanks for joining us as always. We appreciate your time.
Outstanding. Thank you, Dan.
All right. That's Sean Payton, Saints head coach. I mean, I waited. Then I thought I would sneak one in. Well, a little fastball, you know, like a backdoor slider or something. Greg Maddux. Appears the job is open. Open for business. And, you know, if you're Sean Payton, you love you some quarterbacks. You got two of them there. I don't know. I felt all along that it was Jameis Winston who was going to be the starting quarterback because I can use Taysom in a variety of ways. I can't use Jameis Winston in a variety of ways. This way I can incorporate Taysom and, you know, he could be in there at a running back, a tight end, you know, wide receiver. But Jameis Winston would be more of my my quarterback. Not my team, but that was just my assessment. Take a break. We'll close up shop after this. Last call for phone calls. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh!
Sean Payton!
Oh!
Coach Payton!
Oh, Sean Payton says he loves Rush.
Oh,
Sean Payton.
Oh, he's my favorite.
As soon as he said that, I went, oh.
I jumped out of my
Paulie
seat.
Paulie jumped out of his seat. Cheap Trick, REO Speedwagon. Rush. Oh.
New Saints fan.
Yeah. By the way, got a new T-shirt for St. Patty's Day. It's Happy Dan Patrick's Day. Just got the T-shirts if you're watching on Peacock.
It's your head.
Yes, it is. It's my face. It's my face.
Are you going to wear that socially?
Yes.
Good.
On St. Patrick's Day. I will wear that out. Sean Payton, give us some stuff there. Thought Drew Brees would retire last year. Said open competition between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. And maybe they're not done. Maybe they kick the tires on another quarterback there. Who knows? With Sean. He loves quarterbacks. Yes, McLovin.
I like that little thing he said when he heard Kansas City moves up. He knew immediately.
Oh, it's just those stories are fascinating on somebody you took or you didn't take and how it changes an entire sport. If the Saints take Patrick Mahomes, does Brees finish his career elsewhere? When does Mahomes get in the starting lineup? Like those things I just find fascinating. Juwan Howard of the Michigan Wolverines tomorrow. Rick Pitino is going to join us.
Wow.
We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Bears being all in with Russell Wilson, with the former Chicago Bear wide receiver Tom Waddle. This day in sports history, Paulie says he needs a little bit of time.
This is better. This is this day in show history 4 years ago, a very special call.
Zach in Wisconsin joins us. Hi, Zach. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, thanks for taking my call. I got some advice and then one quick comment for you.
Okay.
My advice is don't get cute with it. Take down your gut feeling, fill out one bracket, look at it, submit it, and that's it. Don't look at it. When you start comparing offenses, points or game, this and that, you get all confused. And my other point is my uncle passed away about a month ago. He's a huge, huge fan. He is. And there's one thing he always wanted me to try to tell you on the phone was thank you and suck it back, Ralph.
Thank you.
His dying wish?
His dying wish was to say suck it back.
That's a little extreme.
Come here. I have one thing to say to you.
Come, get closer. Get closer.
One wish. Please make this come true.
You'd think you'd want to have your will in order first or make sure you say goodbye to relatives.
Make sure you tell the back row to suck it.
Call LegalZoom and have them put in my will that suck it back row is my...
Just one thing, please.
Yes, yes, yes. What is it? What is it?
Call the Dan Patrick Show.
Yes, 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 yes.
Tell McLovin and Princey to suck it.
This is wrong.
Okay, we'll do it for you.
Nothing but the bottom of the casket.
Clear.
Didn't this gentleman just pass away like a month ago?
Yes.
That's been enough time.
Enough time?
Yeah, that's enough time. Yeah.
It's an uncle, too.
Uncle Bob.
I didn't realize we rate that much in the back. I guess we should take some strange, eerie pride in that.
Oh, that's over the top. I don't have a problem with that at all.
You're okay with that one.
I'm okay. That one, that's a lot of effort, and I kind of appreciate it.
That one's awesome. That one's awesome. We are sick dudes, man. Sick dude. But I do love the fact that, my uncle had, one wish. He just wished that I'd call in and say, suck it back around. All right, we can take care of your uncle's dying wish. Yes,
that's what I love, because if you just keep following that back, the uncle was like, "Man, you know what? I think it would be great one day. I would love to just call in one day and be like, hey, by the way, yeah, I love the Patriots, and hey, suck it back row. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man, I just would love to do that." And then this fella says, "You know what? I know how I'm going to honor my uncle. This is a great moment.
Yeah.
What can I do for you, Uncle?
Johnny, don't worry about taking care of your grandmother. Just make sure.
His last dying wish is to say suck it back row. What a great audience. All righty. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
I don't even remember what it was. Will Bill Belichick win another Super Bowl? 87% say no.
Are you sad?
No, I mean, I think he has a great chance to win one.
I mean, the guy saying suck it back row is last dying wish.
Oh, I mean, I'm sad he died.
Oh.
I mean, not.
Okay.
I didn't know him.
You're not sad that he said that about suck it back row.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, for a couple years, I was.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Shaq Barrett used to like the Mavs because of Steve Nash, and Dirk also the Sixers because of Allen Iverson.
McLovin?
Sean Payton had some tidbits for you.
A little bit. Seton O'Connor.
Shaq Barrett getting himself a house.
Yes, he is. Paulie?
Sean Payton, great person, Rush fan.
Fritzy, what did I learn?
Shaq Barrett also says the other teams he was looking at were Tampa, Tampa, and Tampa.
Weather vans stop short. Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step at an authorized dealership today. Thanks for joining us. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item here. The weather's getting a little bit nicer, and I'm watching golf this past weekend at the Players' Championship. You got the Honda Classic coming up. Masters right around the corner. I get my sticks and take them out. I got the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball ready to go. Callaway's got everything for you. They gave me my new driver. I got the irons, and now the number one selling tour golf ball, Chrome Soft, Callaway's number one selling tour ball, because most golfers love the combination of incredible distance, soft feel, short game control. But then there's Callaway's number one ball on tour, Chrome Soft X, the ball that changed the ball, designed to give elite players precise shot workability and amazing greenside action. But if you want to hit some bombs, there's the Chrome Soft XLS. That's low spin, the LS. And you get max distance off the tee, and you get that tour level short game spin. Chrome Soft isn't just better, it's better for everyone. Chrome Soft. Check it out at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft.